So yeah, how do we promote this more? How do, you know, we you convinced us. Now how do we convince the rest of the world to go along with it? What do we do? Maybe we need a stronger Catholic-Jewish coalition here.
Maybe that's the answer. I think that the reality is we need more people invested in this, that we need to reach out to the wider community, that it can't be just Catholic schools concerned about Catholic schools or just Jewish schools concerned about Jewish schools, that the entire society needs to realize the value of this and be able to swing some resources our way, because that's really what's happening. But what we see is parents who are pressured to try to come up with a tuition, and it's a challenge, and they need wider support, as much wider support as can come, whether it be from the billionaires or whether it be come from just your everyday work.
Yeah, you know, we find money for all kinds of things that are extraneous or secondary or tertiary. We certainly should be able to find money for something that's primary. Let's go to we have a call for you. Andrea from Brooklyn. Hold on. Andrea, you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Within the Jewish world, there are people who are and really decent people, but who consider themselves Jewish but are not halachically Jewish, whether they be in certain kinds of interfaith marriages or whether they call themselves so-called Messianic Jews. How do you handle all of this in a program like this?
That's an Ezra question.
Ezra, did you hear the question? Is Ezra there? Do we lose Ezra?
As we're looking for Ezra.
I think, obviously, we have a number of denominations. There is no one-size-fits-all. But there are certain groups whose teachings completely contradict the tenets, the basic tenets of our faith. All right? You see these groups, Jews for Jesus. Now, with all due respect to Christianity, Jews for Jesus is a contradiction. It's like saying vegans who are carnivorous. You know, we just can't, we try to reconcile two things that are not part of one tradition, one faith tradition. So I think we can present this kind of pluralistic education and you know, stay true to who we are as a diverse people.
I think in your case, though, and Brendan, you've studied most recently on this, there's an identity, the Judaism, that allows some to be Jews without God. Where in Christianity, yeah, it is a personal faith development.
Well,
as
Ezra,
well.
How do you handle that?
I got disconnected. So I didn't really
so
answer
the question. Andrea's question is Andrea, correct me if I'm wrong. There are so many different groups, but there are some that are really outside the mainstream. You know, Messianic Jews, Jews who try to reconcile Christian and Jewish teachings, the interfaith. When you present this education, how do you make sure that you're staying true to the different groupings and not crossing that line?
Well, you know, the age-old saying, two Jews, three views, but it's too preliminary to discuss the details, but I think everyone is in agreement that the Jews for Jesus is obviously not connected to Judaism whatsoever, so that would not be part of this initiative at all. For me, it's important that parents receive an authentic Jewish education. Personally, as an Orthodox Jew, the Orthodox model works best. It's proven. You see flourishing and thriving Orthodox Jewish communities only because there are Jewish day schools, yeshivot, yeshivas, that provide an authentic Jewish education. But as I said in my article, I am not expecting everyone to send their child to an Orthodox school, and everyone should send their child to the school of their choice.
And by the way, Ezra, you should know, you know, you talk to people. We're going to have some people in the future from other denominational day schools. You have Reform day schools. You have Conservative day schools. You have some strong educational programs that seem to be working. We have to strengthen them. We have to make them affordable. You know, talking
Absolutely.
About affordable housing, you need affordable religion.
And it should be 100% free. I spoke to Sheldon Adelson, who's a very committed Jew, and I said, look, you're supporting Birthright Israel. Why not support Birthright to a Jewish education? When you have a child, the parents are contemplating where to send their kid. He or she is 3 or 4 years old. The opportunity to give them a Jewish education should not be based on financial considerations. And we're spending billions of dollars for everything under the sun. If you're going to make a commitment, if you're Mark Zuckerberg and you're giving $100 million to the Newark school system, and we commend you for that, and you're giving $900 million of Facebook stock to recently he made an announcement, he's allocating that, you should match that with birthright to a Jewish education. There is nothing that will allow the Jewish community to prosper as a community for Jewish continuity than to have that education instilled in the child from K through 12. And there should be a birthright to a Catholic education. I'm sad when I read about the closure of Catholic schools. It's an abomination. We should have flourishing and thriving Catholic schools, because we all know that when a child receives a Catholic education, that child becomes a more productive citizen. It's fact. We don't have to make these numbers up.
Let me get Brendan. I'm just curious about something. Ezra said before, and I've mentioned this a number of times, we can't use a negative to create a positive. We can't create stronger Jews, for example, by talking about anti-Semitism all the time. We can't get stronger Christians by talking about persecuted Christians around the world all the time. It's an important story, but it's not going to motivate people, I think young people, to be committed to their faith.
No, the young people need to see how much and how important that faith is for their development. And it's only when that community can come together to say, this is a value, this is what is important to us, this is what we're going to invest our resources in. And that is what a religious-based school does. It calls those people together. Who's going to support us? Who's going to help us survive? And in our society, these young people need it. They need it desperately. And we're the ones who are working to provide it. So
the school, just build on that, the school, I don't think we can have a program where you come in on Saturday morning or Friday night or whatever the case may be, or Thursday night, and have your religious class and you move on. But the key becomes that the community is built, because it's not only money, but it's also time and interest of the people.
You know what? Let's try to get one more call in for you. We got Adam calling from Brooklyn. Good morning, Adam. Adam, you there? Adam's gone. All right. Look, I want to just say thank you to the two of you. I think it's very important for us as a program to show areas where there is common agreement, where there is this kind of alignment. We got to do more in the world of education. And Brendan, Ezra, I would hope that this inspires other people to rethink their positions. You know, how many times do we have parents say, if only? And I think Edgar Bronfman, right? The passing of Edgar Bronfman, he made an interesting statement. He went to see, I think it was Rabbi Soloveitchik.
Correct.
And Soloveitchik said to Bronfman, remember, Edgar, you didn't become a Jewish leader to only fight anti-Semitism. That's not your only mission in life.
Said, are we so busy defending? It's not just about anti-Jewish. The Jewish religion is not just based on fighting anti-Semitism. And I always say it's always been anti-Semitism that brings us together, but it need not. It ought not to be that.
It doesn't keep us together. That's the problem. It may bring us together, but ultimately it doesn't keep us together.
This is and the essential part to hear this is that the Christian system is very different, because the persecution of Christians, while it's happening and we've talked about it and we continue to talk about it, that's not our main narrative at all. It's not even in the top five of our narratives. And the identification of a place with our faith also doesn't exist. Where Israel is essential, I think, to a Jewish education, the Vatican or Italy or Rome it's apples and oranges. So we have the desire for education really does take two different approaches, whether it's Jewish or Christian.
All right. Ezra Freelander.
I just want to finish with emphasizing my personal feelings in how this should be and how we should go about emulating the age-old tradition. And that is what Rabbi Moshe Sheris said, who was the leader of Agudath Israel in his time. He said, a Judaism based solely on sentiment and memory cannot provide the spiritual sustenance to preserve generations to come. Only a Judaism rooted in the tree of life emanating from Sinai can offer the spiritual food to sustain future generations. And what I wrote is, realistically, this effort will only be universally accepted if the parents dictate which school the child will attend. So, for me, that's my own personal if you will. But at the end of the day, we must give every parent the financial support so that they could decide how to raise their child Jewishly.
All right. And Brendan, to that we say amen.
Amen.
You know, really, to have both you on together was it was really insightful, I think, for many, many people. We're on the same side here, and we need to strengthen that coalition. So Ezra Freelander, CEO of the Freelander Group, public policy consulting group based in New York City and Washington, and Brenda Maloney, the chair of the religious department at Zavarian. Thank you both for being together and being with us on this program.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye now. All right, when we come back from news with our own Buzz Barnett, we're going to be speaking with one of our good friends, former governor of New York, David A. Patterson.
A terrific man. A real
always gift. Has something to offer. I was with him the other day. I was up in Albany for the State of the State, and we'll talk about some of the things that were said there. But David Patterson has a repository of information. He can tell you things that occurred years ago with such clarity. It's always a learning experience being with him.